All right, where do we want to start, Jack? Do you want to give the summary?
Sure. So I sent you all an email last week with the high-level budget documents is what we gave you today. We didn't want to print the entire budget since the minutes of your budget workshop show what changes were made. And then I highlighted the other things. I mean, I can go through them if you want, but I think most of you got the email. We noticed a few other things that we could change. Driver diversion, that revenue was a little low. Based upon administration's motion for a two-step increase for management salaries, we put those, and you will have those when we print the budget for presentation, that will be in your salary schedule. And then we decrease the undistributed fringe to make up for that, because that's where we had that money socked away. Updated room tax and the outside agency requests. And then we had a discussion about special children's services and how that's probably a little heavy. So on net cost, we were able to reduce that by $100,000. So that's essentially where we are. We're within striking distance based upon if you are willing to allocate or anticipate additional sales tax revenue in your budget. I think we can get the budget to the target that you gave us. So that's where we're at, but I know you all had a few other questions.
I think also it was very helpful if you read the workshop minutes that Amanda posted online.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of commentary in there that was added that was very helpful to explain a lot of the questions that we had.
Right.
Thank you. Any comments?
Should we start by addressing the funding request for the district attorney's office for the office manager?
You certainly could. Scott and I were talking in between the meetings because it was a topic that you brought up as well in terms of the vacant positions that we have. Mm-hmm. You really don't necessarily need to change the
right.
any dollars in the budget. If committee and the legislature approves it, because they're going to either have to be a position reclassification or a creation of a position next month. I'm assuming you'll want us that to come to committee. As soon as you do that, we could fund it because we have enough flex in those vacant positions under the admin code. So you could do it that way and not add the $35,000 into the budget.
But we have a position within the DA's office that's vacant that he's proposing using at this
time. That was a zero balance. It was unfunded.
Zero based.
Right.
Zero based. Yeah.
I thought it was funded position that hadn't been filled. Okay.
No, it was zero based, but under your rules, we could administratively fill that. We can't go over or approach, and we don't come anywhere close to the amount of salary dollars that you have for positions. But if you authorize a position, we can then, and you indicate to us that you want it filled, we can then just transfer the money.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure. It seemed like the presentation went well, and I think it might have convinced many of us who might not have been on board originally that perhaps we should be on board with the plan. And I wanted to make sure that we would be able to handle it monetarily.
I think the biggest thing for me was that when he offered the opportunity to bring in a part-time position, which was a retired law enforcement who would not have the benefit, all the costs of a full-time regular employee.
Still have the knowledge,
yes,
and experience that could help.
Yes.
And it has a cap that nobody's asking us to go over in 2 months.
Yeah.
Well, then it would be someone who has the knowledge and experience in order to make the job happen.
Yeah. He admits it, we all said it. And the key is that he has to allow the person
to do it.
Yeah.
To do it. Yeah.
Yeah. The powers to do it. And just like all of the people on the top tier of his org chart, he's got to give them responsibilities and let them do their jobs. So, it'll be interesting.
Yeah. And I think my concern was simply that before half of these court cases have been held up because he wants to do all the administration on them.
Yeah.
And that has to stop sitting out there, or it's not going to help anything.
Yeah. Okay. So Kelly, as far as funding that, I mean, it, Jack says there's enough money in the total salary line in that department,
then I believe him
that we can cover. Yeah. Okay. Robin?
Yeah, I believe the maximum cap for someone coming off a state pension is 37,000 right now.
Yeah, what it is.
Yeah,
is that what I your think SROs so. Are at, Sheriff?
They're at 35.
Okay.
Anytime we raise it, we have to do it by legislative acclamation.
Still pretty good. We're still getting a bargain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
All right, was it any questions on the summary that we got? The diversion, driver's diversion, management, so on and so forth.
No, I don't have any problem with any of those. And as far as allocating the additional sales tax, I don't have a problem with that either. So
we did ask the sheriff to come to the meeting for your last meeting. So you have.
Yeah, so I can start. I think what would be helpful, and it's probably more on a ongoing basis than just for this budget, but you had requested a lot of stuff. Well, I would call it a lot of stuff. Multiple cars.
Yes.
A couple new positions. And I think it would be helpful if you could just strategically tell us where you want to take the department.
I would appreciate the opportunity to do that.
Number of years, because that helps us understand how do we get there or are we not going to get there?
Right. So those that I've presented at their town boards have heard this a couple of times. Mr. Hanna's probably heard enough times where he could do it for me. When the undersheriff and I came in, we looked at the resources we had and we said, where can we strategically best benefit the public safety measures within the county with the resources we have? In other words, we got our team together and we said, what needs in public safety are not being met? And we identified some key areas. One was evidence collection. One was arson investigations. One was in the EMS field to keep our people alive on scene. And the other one is a tactical team, a bona fide SWAT team. Those needs were not being met. So we detailed our resources towards that, towards those strategic responses. Because for a SWAT team to come from the state police, it's a minimum of 3 hours. That's too long. On your general burglaries, assaults, your crimes that occur out in the county, there was no forensic evidence team in county to collect DNA, to collect fluid samples, to collect fingerprints. So we began that and we trained people and got them certified. And now Corning PD has a person, we did a countywide. So now Corning PD has a person that's assigned to that assists us. Cornell has a person that's assigned to that to assist us. And as we continue to move forward, we've also utilized jail personnel as a force multiplier in order to meet those needs. Our SWAT team is on pace to become state certified within 5 years. And with that comes, puts us in place where we need to be for accreditation. We are on pace right now. The jail is accredited. The civil division is accredited, the court security division is accredited, and I fully anticipate by the end of this coming year, the road patrol will also be state accredited. So across the board, and I'd have to talk to Scott to see how that affects the insurance, but across the board, we will have best practices as established by the state in every division in the sheriff's office. With the arson investigations, we now have 5 certified arson investigators. They respond with Tim to every suspicious fire in the county. And because of that, for 5 years we had, before we got into that, we had 0 arrests for arson. Now we averaged 3 to 4 arrests for arson per year. Our stop DWI was another thing we looked at, was the prevention and apprehension, the three-legged stool for reducing opioids and opioid overdose, which is education, prevention and treatment, or enforcement and treatment, sorry. So we detailed 2, we put them under stop DWI so that we could save the county a little money. But in that time frame, we've had, over the last 12 months, I believe we had 6 deaths attributed to impaired or intoxicated driving in county. And it continues to be one of the biggest drivers for criminal deaths in the county. But we went from an average of 35 DWI arrests a year to 135 average DWIRS per year. And that's what we've been doing consistently since we made that strategic change. So moving forward, I would love to continue those programs. The biggest generate or the biggest increase in personnel that you've seen from us was with the CAP program. And if you all recall, in 2018, the state came in and said, you have to have public defenders at every arraignment, period. And in order to do that, the two cities were opting out. And the two cities said, well, we're not bringing people to Bath. You can't make us. We're not going to do it. So we would have had to field public defenders at three courts twice a day, every day, including Saturday and Sunday, 365 days a year. So then we worked creatively with this body to create the CAP program, where we had one centralized arraignment court at the jail. So you also didn't have to use this building for it or the building across the street for it. And to reduce our transport costs, because if it had, the original plan was for us to bring every inmate for CAP over to the county office building, transport them there, transport them back. There's a cost associated with that, as Mr. Swaghammer pointed out to me last month. So we came up with a plan creatively wherein by increasing the number of deputies, we would transport from both City of Corning and City of Hornell here to the centralized arraignment court, thereby reducing the number of attorneys needed to a third of what you would have needed. And we now know that that savings is in excess of $500,000 a year. And that was why the additional deputies were put on. It wasn't because I'm trying to create an empire or I'm out of control or any of that. It was to make sure that we had enough people on per shift to do those escorts. We estimated initially that the escorts would be, or the transports would be between 200 and 300 per year. Year one, there were 229. Year two, there was 265. We're in year three. We're at 255 as of Friday with 2 months to go. So our estimations are still there. We get a nominal fee from the cities for that. I think it's 30 or 35 a year, Jack, out of taxes, sales tax. It's not much.
Like high 20s.
Yeah, it's not much. But again, the revenue from it wasn't the driver. It was the savings and not having to hire attorneys that we can't get anyways. So in that resolution that you passed, there were five deputies, two then, two in 6 months, one the following year. We still haven't filled that fifth deputy position. That's still out there. It's approved, but it's never been funded. The other position that's, yep.
Because it's germane to what you just said.
Yep.
The number in 2021 was 200 and what?
Right now, we're at 255.
I'm sorry, 2020.
It was 265 or 266, somewhere in there.
Most of those virtual?
A lot of them were, but they still had to be brought here for the virtual arraignment.
It was virtual for the attorney.
It was virtual from the jail. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was wherever they were.
No, I wish. That would have been lovely.
So they were still physically transported. Okay.
And two of them that we physically transported in tested COVID positive while they were here. So we tried to make sure we got rid of them as quickly as possible. So those numbers have remained right about where we thought they would be and where we forecasted them to be. And we continue to save that money every year, even though it doesn't show up in a cost center. That $500,000 a year, which is probably more than that now, continues every year that we continue with this program, because the state's never going to let us go back to arraignments without counsel. I think that's a fair statement. That's never going to happen. And unless you do district courts or whatever you're working on, I don't see the OCA working with us for any of that. But so that position is still out there. Our deputies are still doing the transports. And the zero-based position is actually a backfill to a retirement. That was a retirement from 2 years ago. At the end of last year, when we're doing budget, again, the forecast was worst budget in 50 years. And Jack and I talked, and Jack says, I'm going to have to zero base and not fill this vacant position. It is what it is. The budget is. I get that. I think whether or not the budget can sustain it this year is up to you guys. But that position, so there's two vacant positions sitting out there. we were utilizing those BOCES SROs that came back to us to meet the needs of the citizens. Now we've already, in anticipation of them, we've already entered into a contract with Hornell and Arkport for one of them. The city of Corning wants to enter into a similar contract for the other one to reimburse that second position again. But if we can't fill the retiree positions, we're going to be minus two. Trying to keep up with our calls for service since I became sheriff have tripled in the time I've been here. Our arrests have almost doubled. And I don't know if you noticed outside, but we're arresting the same people more and more often because of bail reform. Yeah. And I believe last year we were between 11 and 15 homicides countywide. And with our evidence team, so when I was a new police officer, to have a homicide was a big deal. That didn't happen, especially not in this county. Once in a great while, we would have a homicide. We're averaging over 10 a year right now. It's a much more dangerous place out there for those deputies that are responding. So my concerns are twofold on this. And again, I get the budget. I understand that there's only so much in the pot. I get that. But if we don't backfill these retiree places, these zero-based ones, you're sending a message to your deputies that I don't think you intend to send, that you're not willing to invest in them. And I don't think that anybody sitting here wants their deputies to think that. By not from my assessment, but from the assessment of the police agencies in the county and our neighboring sheriff's offices, they'll tell you that we're operating at the highest level we've ever operated at. And that makes me feel pretty good that we're doing something right. The fact that we've had 14 lateral transfers come in instead of like Ontario leave tells me that people are coming here even for less pay. The last guy we got was from the city of Ithaca. He took a $15,000 pay cut to come here. And he came here because he wanted to be appreciated. So that's what we offer. We offer specialized appointments, a specialized training, and we offer the fact that we care about them and appreciate their service. And I tell them that all the time because I do appreciate what they do. And until you've been in their shoes, you have no idea what they do. But it's a more dangerous world out there, and our public safety responsibilities continue to increase. So that's the only information I'd like to share with you on the zero base.
Yeah, the only thing I would add, Sheriff, respectfully, is, you know, it isn't a matter, zero basing a position isn't a matter of respect. And that's not what we project. Right. We've zero based positions in every department.
And I know that. I'm just telling you that knowing the deputies, that's probably the way they're going to see it. I am not proposing it. I'm not putting it out there. I'm just saying that's the reality of their psychological makeup. How's that?
So,
yeah, yeah.
So the SROs, we have one that's assigned to Hornell and Arkport.
Correct. Full reimbursement.
Okay, so you're also anticipating one from Corning?
Yes.
Which would be reimbursed?
Yep.
Now, when would that transpire, and is that built into the budget, those revenues?
It's not built into the budget, and I would propose that if that transpires, then it would be a discussion between the sheriff and you about funding that and anticipating revenue.
Is that full-time, part-time?
I think that's a reasonable approach to take, Jack.
Yeah,
but from a budgetary standpoint, it's a wash.
But don't we have those positions budgeted in there now with no corresponding revenue to cover their cost?
Well, exactly. No. So the one that we already have for Hornell Arkport has, you'll see it in your services.
Estimated revenue.
I think we budgeted revenue for that. So for the one we do.
Right.
But with the other one, you could always choose to fill or to fund that vacancy and appropriate the like revenue.
Mm-hmm. They're ready to go at a drop of a hat, Corning is. They've reached out. They want it. They want to start immediately with it because we've got five SRO vacancies in that district. So yeah, they wanted one in every elementary school. So the plan would be to utilize a full-time person and split their time amongst the elementary schools. That's what they would like to fund.
Aaron, you got a question?
Yeah, I had a question about some of the historical positions that we've dealt with. And I was wondering, didn't we add a position or two for the youthful offender transports as well?
No.
No.
Okay. No. I was thinking that we had.
We've added positions for the opioid prevention and for the CAP transport.
The RTA stuff came about around the same time as CAP. So we might have had discussions about that they might have to do RTA as well, but it wasn't ever specified for RTA.
Okay. I remember that being in the discussion. So that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I was trying to remember last year, it was roughly a 5% increase on your budget. And what were the items that were added last year?
The medical contract was one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Prime Care drove it up.
So are you talking Sheriff Road Patrol or the whole cost center, Sheriff and Jail?
The whole cost.
The whole. So Prime Care was one of them. We did increase overtime. Mm-hmm. Overtime in the Road Patrol has historically gone over what was budgeted, but there's been flex in the salary. But with their help with COVID response and some of those other things, we did increase mm-hmm. overtime last year. The budgeted
That's
amount.
That's right. It's overtime.
Those were the two big.
Yeah.
Things. And the food budget.
And then, and then removed
10,000.
The other hit was the removal of the revenue from those SROs, right?
Oh yeah, yep. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. You are correct.
Sheriff, how many deputies do we have on road patrol on any given day at any given hour?
So on the day shift, it's typically three deputies and a supervisor. On the afternoon shift, it's three more deputies and a supervisor. But the night shift overlaps that. We did this strategically because where we found our most violent calls are from 9 to midnight. So at 9 o'clock, the overnight shift comes out. So from 9 p. till 3 a., we have five deputies out with one supervisor. Well, and then 3 a. to 7 a., we only have two.
And the two deputies that came in from BOCES, mm-hmm. did they help with the overtime situation with that? And now are we going to go back to having a problem?
If they did. Primarily what they did through 2020 was all COVID, and the early part of this year was all COVID. Mm-hmm. They handled the majority of that. But again, when there's staffing shortages, backfills, we had the flexibility to move them around and avoid more overtime. And we did that also. Mm-hmm.
So as far as COVID and the sheriff's deputy accompanying mm-hmm. public health nurse, mm-hmm. that number going down, the number?
Yes. It's about 3 to 4 a week, I think, Jack.
Yeah, probably.
And it's the worst of the worst.
Yeah, it was obviously a tremendous benefit when they had the ability to be able to deliver the isolation orders to the positives because, and we've talked to other counties. I mean, as we've talked, not many other counties have done anything like that, but I think we avoided a lot of issues with quarantines and such or skipping isolation.
Mm-hmm.
What we do now is if we're able to get the people, they seem compliant over the phone, the nurses talk to them. It's, as the sheriff said, it's only the ones that said, go pound salt, I'm not gonna isolate, mm-hmm. That we say, okay, you know, after 3 or 4 mm-hmm. tries,
right.
We ask a deputy to go and have a chat with them, and that works.
And I'll tell you that your deputy supported the public health mission more than any county in the state. I don't know of another county that even came close to what they supported. And they weren't necessarily pleased with it, but they did it.
Well, and you got quite a lot of overtime.
Yeah, there was a ton of overtime associated with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it helped them, even though maybe they didn't like it.
They were tired. They were tired.
Yeah, we're tired.
Yeah.
I mean, things were bad enough.
Right? Yeah.
We avoided a lot because of their heart.
And it's important to, too, during that same period of time with the civil unrest, there were three periods in 2020 where the state police completely pulled out of our zone to go to Rochester, and we handled everything in the county one time for 2 weeks straight. And the overtime for that, we estimated about 20 to 25,000 just to cover the entire county, because historically we've relied on the state police to cover a lot of our calls. And right now I just did a survey with one of the local state police administrators, and in zone right now, they're down 20 to 30%. In Steuben County specifically, they're down almost 20 troopers currently. So, and they on in a best case scenario, they'll be back to full staff in 5 years, worst case 10 years. So we continue, as I said, to handle more calls, and God forbid, you know, it's 3 a.m. and somebody needs us and we don't have that person to send. And so our responsibility increases. The amount of training that the deputies have to do after police reform continues to increase, just like in the fire and the EMS services, the training keeps going up, the mandatory training. So we continue to meet our responsibilities with the state and do the very best job we can to meet our responsibilities with the citizens within the budget you provide.
So Sheriff, do you think the reason for the decline in the numbers of state police is from a budgetary standpoint, or is that pre-orchestrated by the governor's office at this point?
I believe so. There's a couple of things going on. After bail reform, everybody that hit 20 left because it was such a tremendous change in the landscape for law enforcement that there was a tremendous amount of people that left and moved out of state. Right now, 20 years ago was 9/11. The state police really beefed up after 9/11. They had a big hiring move after 9/11. Those people are hitting their 20 now. So you're going to see reasonably forecast a big chunk of their services going out the door through retirement. And if you, over the last year, year and a half, they had almost 1,000 people retire and they've had one academy of 200 people to backfill. Yeah, so it's just,
from my understanding, it's just numbers. Talking to some of my relations, they got out at 20.
Yeah.
Most of them are doing that. They're not staying past
20. No, they're not. Years, so. Very few of them are staying past 20.
Yeah.
I just have two comments to make. I don't mind filling positions that you have there. And not all into, you know, creating, but definitely filling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there's got to be no worse feeling than being that deputy that calls at 3 a.m. for backup and they say there's nobody available. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a horrible feeling for the deputy. And one thing that people don't think about with the cap, when you're trying to budget that, in the sheriff's defense, when they have the cap come in, they don't know if it's going to be one person or six, if that guard is going to be helping cap for a half an hour or 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that I'm not sure if it was Friday or Saturday, there was somebody in cap that was pretty rough, and our district attorney stood in the corner and wanted to get out of that room as fast as they could because there was no extra guards to come help.
Mm-hmm.
So when the DA is scared in that room, you know,
yeah,
we definitely need to fill, yep, the positions, maybe not great, but fill what we have available. Mm-hmm. So that they feel safe.
I don't know if I ever shared with you the morning that Trooper Clark was murdered. But the initial call I got from the state police was that Deputy Day was the one murdered. He was shot at first. The attempted murder was of Deputy Day before the actual murder of Trooper Clark. And the wake-up call I got from the state police that morning was that it was from the captain that we had a deputy that was down and murdered. So I got dressed and I head that way, and I called Jack on the way. And I was about halfway there when I got a second call. And that call was that your deputy's okay, but Nick is down. And it was a state police sergeant. And I said, what's his condition? He just started crying on the phone. Mm. And when I got there that morning and interacted with Deputy Day, he collapsed on me and just started sobbing because he couldn't save Nick. Those are the things that I take with me. And those are the things that I guard against. And if I get too passionate about what we're doing at the sheriff's office, that's where my perspective comes from. And if I alienate you because of that, I apologize. But each one of those young men and women are like family to me. They really are. And that's the way I manage. That's always the way I've managed. And we take care of our family, but we correct them when they're wrong too. But if I offend anyone here by my passion to make sure they have the resources and staffing they need to be safe, to be able to safely do their job, that's not my intent. My intent is to successfully make sure they have what they need. That's it.
How many positions are funded there? How many positions did you ask for, and how many did you actually budget? I don't remember those numbers.
So The only positions that aren't budgeted are the ones that we zero based last year. It's a full-time deputy and a part-time investigator.
Correct.
Kept those zeros in your draft.
And as you go through the staffing, we have one deputy that's fully paid for by OCA that stays in the COB. We have one deputy that's fully paid for by DSS that is assigned to DSS. We have one investigator that is reimbursed by DSS for the hours they spend investigating DSS welfare fraud. We have two part-time investigators that are fully paid through grant, the CARP grant, to investigate DSS investigations. We have the one deputy that's assigned to Arkport and Hornell that is reimbursed. I think those are all the reimbursements that we have currently.
But to my understanding, Jack, you don't have the revenue from the Corning one either. So
right.
if one goes to Corning, the revenue from Corning would allow us to fill another deputy position so that you wouldn't be short. Is that correct?
It would.
Completely.
Well, it depends on what their contract is. I mean, I'm doubting that they're going to pay 100 yeah. grand.
They pay just cost, Hornell? Basically.
Hornell's is 110. Yeah, Hornell and Arkport contract is 110.
So it would depend, and that's why, again, your budget, however you want to handle it, is anticipating the revenue at this moment might be tough. It would be very easy to do a budget modification
in the future if it does come, like Aaron said.
Mm-hmm.
Have we had to give the sheriff or the jail's budget money from the contingency?
Almost every year.
Yes.
yes. I was just asking.
Tammy
yes.
Run that that report.
Prior to Prime Care, we had to come back to contingency almost every year for medical for the jail. I know we've had to come back for vehicle maintenance 1 year.
Yeah, it's been,
from contingency. Yeah,
I mean, there's fund transfers. Tammy would have to talk about those. The actual
I think a lot of it was fund transfers and not out of contingency.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So one of the conversations we had during the budget workshop was concern about trying to give you a budget and keep you within your budget.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're moving money from one budget category within your budget, moving it to another, perhaps mm-hmm. salary lines or overtime or whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
I mean, your budget is your budget. But if we're moving money in from contingency, then the concern is, you know, we need to give you a budget, but we need to make sure you have the means to stay within it.
Right.
So that's why I proposed the question, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's, Tammy, we could run your reports, but, you know, the largest driver in road patrol of that would be overtime.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, that would be some of the things that you can't necessarily anticipate, but at the same time, that would be the only one that I would see other than like a year if we had bad vehicle maintenance or something like that.
The medical at the jail.
Well, yeah. So if you go to the jail, the medical is always a crapshoot.
I mean, it ran big time last year.
And you do have more money budgeted for that in this draft budget that you have to hopefully pad that.
We should talk about that. The medical contract. Mm-hmm. There's a pretty substantial increase in that. But aren't you seeing your numbers in the jail actually decrease on the amount of people that are staying there? And what would explain the increase in the contract for the medical?
So the contract from Prime Care has stayed for the services themselves, that stayed constant. The thing that's driving Prime Care and what we pay them up is the catastrophic billing, which is overages on prescriptions, overages on hospital stays, on outside where they have to go for tests. We had one guy that had to go to Upstate Medical Center, I think 3 times before we could finally get him out. And what we do is when we have someone that's in there with a catastrophic illness, we work with probation in the courts and the district attorney's office and the public defender to try to find an alternative to incarceration for them. We've avoided hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical costs by doing that. But Google's listening to you. But unfortunately, the prescriptions also include the psychotropic medicines that are prescribed by mental health too. So that's all prescriptions. And we actually get a better price through Prime Care for our prescriptions than we did before because they're a national chain. But it is what it is. They get prescribed. We have to pay them. If they go into a hospital for 2 weeks because they got cancer when they came in and it takes us 2 weeks to get them back out, we're on the hook for that. And Medicare will pay some when they're in overnight, but a lot of it's ER visits and then tests and scheduled tests with doctors, because unfortunately, when you're on the street and using, you don't feel all those ills that you feel when you get in the jail and get clean. And then all the medical slips come in, and knock on wood, Prime Care has avoided any major issues in the liability realm since they've been in there, as opposed to what we had previously. So
the medical services line is more than just their contract.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's also prescriptions. It's also catastrophic billing. And we had kind of a perfect storm in 2020. We had a low number in 2019 when they came in. We had low numbers because of bail reform. And at the end, quarter four of 2020 is when the state stopped taking state ready inmates. And I sent that to the chairman and to the manager so they'd be aware of it. We were up over 180 inmates at one point in time when they quit taking state ready inmates, still paying for all the medication and everything. So when we came in at the end of 2020, our catastrophic billing has a threshold. And when you hit that threshold, you pay for everything over it. That's part of our contract with Prime Care. So 2020, we were low numbers until fourth quarter. So we didn't hit that threshold until late. 2021, currently, we had those high numbers until March. So we hit that threshold much quicker. So our catastrophic this year is catastrophic, and it's pretty high. So as we move forward, and it was just due to the numbers in the jail. We just did a analysis August to August this year to last year. We're up 36% in the jail for inmates. We're staying right around 150 right now. That seems to be our new normal, 150 inmates.
That's fine, Sheriff, but all that money comes out of the taxpayers' pocket.
I know that.
And we have to watch it.
I know that. I'm trying to explain
I understand
how much that. How much control I actually have over it.
So we got to find a place to find it.
And that's what I said up front. I get that. It's your budget.
Yep.
And we'll accept whatever occurs. I just want to make sure that I can give you as much information as possible.
I think that each year is unique in your department sitting out there. So the only thing you can do is a best guess scenario as far as the budget goes. And I think we've done that this year. So that's.
So the draft that we worked on at the workshop, the jail went up about $540,000 from 2021 to 2022. $500,000 of that was Prime Care.
Mm-hmm.
And we have since lowered that down to $1.6 million from $1.8 million, right?
Lowered it to $1.6 million. And part of the conversation, I mean, to your point, John, it is a crapshoot.
Exactly.
Well, and it's just like what you do with your health insurance.
Right.
You experience a few bad claims and the budget's shot.
But so. what we did do is we added $100,000 to your overtime number.
Good.
In the jail. Because you were holding at the 130 line, even though 2 years ago you were at $500,000 last year.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, last year you were at $500,000. This year we're up to 320.
Right.
So we said we got to put another 100,000 in. And that's where the comment that Kelly made is we're trying to build a budget that your organization
it reflects the history. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. And we do strive to stay in it. As you all know, all the posts in the jail are mandated by the state and we have to fill them. Although, did you see, Jack, there was recent legislation where they've been working on legislation to make it where the county administrator or the manager and the sheriff can look at the staffing. There's legislation out there for that, which would alleviate some of that.
Boy, that would help.
Yeah. And there's a big push for that. So, but it hasn't been signed yet. Matt did get signed. Medically assisted treatment did get signed. It is law. That'll be coming next year also.
But then there's a liability factor if we start cutting staffing. So it's just.
Yeah, it's still, the commission's not going to give up all control. They're just going to say, if you've got a closed pod, you don't have to have that staffing on hand. So
Sheriff, another thing we talked about at the budget workshop was your vehicle requests.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some discussion about the number of vehicles that you have there at the jail.
Yes.
There was just concern over how many vehicles you have. Can mm-hmm. we clean some of those out, sell them? And
so
that wasn't clear based on what
yeah.
we had.
And in the minutes, the sheriff sent a good response.
Yeah, every single vehicle was detailed of the 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, the undersheriff has put together a report for you if you'd like to peruse it. Each individual vehicle, the mileage, the charts, everything that goes along with it that are spare. And unfortunately, especially as we come into deer season, it's not unusual for us to have three vehicles down because of deer.
Oh yeah,
in a weekend.
Yeah,
but you got 19 spares.
Right, but they're not all the same.
I understand that, but they're still a vehicle.
Yes, they are, but they have different purposes, I guess, is the point. And he details them in there. Do you want to give a quick breakdown of it?
Just the original assessment was there's 19. Since then, we've updated the list. So there's actually 15. There should be 16, but one of those vehicles had to be pressed into service. So there's 15 spares. Of those 15 spares, four of them are unmarked. So you subtract that away, that leaves you 11. Two of them are specialty vehicles, K9, that leaves you 9. So if you go by last year's statistics for car deers, 55% of our car deers occurred in the last quarter, and that was 6 car deers. So now you got 9 vehicles. You take 6 away, you're down to 3. We've had, I think, 3 Ford recalls, and you have to take care of those vehicles, routine maintenance. So you can see how that number dwindles very, very quickly. There's some other variables that go into it. 2014 was a very odd year. We actually had 10 2014 model vehicles for whatever reason. I think they extended the model year. Those vehicles are approaching 7 years old. The average mileage on those spare vehicles is 150,000 miles average. And the risk management auditor last year came in and he's, hey, you know, you shouldn't have a vehicle in service over 100,000 miles. And I didn't mean to laugh in his face, but it's like, yeah, we can't do that here. We have to make the best we can. And we repurpose like crazy. I mean, if you're going to look at some of those vehicles, we have 2 vehicles we took from forfeitures for the DA's office. We have 1 vehicle from DSS, 1 vehicle from weights and measures. We use those as observation vehicles. They're not really operational. We can't use them for anything else. A lot of the other vehicles, we do our best to repurpose. If you look at some of the photos in there, I think you'll see they're not exactly the pride of the fleet. The sheriff's old vehicle has 205,000 miles on it. We use it as a training car. We send guys to go train in it, and it's affectionately known as the haunted car because the electric locks open and close without being touched. My old vehicle has replaced, the engine's been replaced. The transmission's been replaced, and we press that into service. That's Investigator Ellison's vehicle. We don't really actually know the true mileage on that vehicle. So we do our best we can, and you know, we're as fiscally responsible. We repurpose what we can, but the reality is, I mean, things age, unfortunately, and we have to also be responsible and replace them. So that's really kind of nuts and bolts of it. And if you look at the reports, you'll see some other variables and facts that surround the fleet, as we call it. But we have 7 vehicles that are operational now, that by the time we get our new cars next year, they will be at or near the 100,000 mile mark. So I think it's 37% of the spare vehicles are 9.8 years or older, 31% are 7 years old or older, and the remaining 31% are 5 years old or older. So we do try to be responsible with our requests, but yeah, again, it's just a fact of life. Stuff ages. We all age.
From an annual cost standpoint, I mean, incremental costs to keep that fleet of 19, it's basically insurance.
And maintenance.
And maintenance when they're used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's every year we have at least like the Tahoes, we use those as parts. We've taken the transmission out of one and put it into another. And
do we pull those off from the insurance policy then when they're not roadworthy anymore?
We put them out for auction. Yeah.
We start parts in them.
Mm-hmm.
Surplus auction knows that they're worn.
They are. In one of our spare canine vehicles we got from Ontario County when they were going to get rid of it, because the price we got it for was the interior kennel system was worth what we got it for. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the spares that we have. So Lieutenant Locke runs our fleet and does a phenomenal job scraping and scrapping and making things work. He really does a great job with that.
Well, I think one of our concerns was nobody was monitoring, you know, this operation as far as the vehicles. And I think you're proving that that's
not the case.
True. So.
Well, that's why it was so important to have you come in here and explain the questions that we had, because who better to ask than you? Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to think from any of the questions that I'm asking you that I am not 100% supportive of your operation and what you've done. This is one of the areas for taxpayers that we provide such a great service for them. And it's one that they maybe don't appreciate until they need it. And when they do need it, we want it to be there.
They need it now.
Yes.
Yeah. And I get that. Like I say, Jack and I've had several discussions. I understand the challenge. I do. I run my household budget the same way. If we can't afford it, we go without. And I just feel sometimes that because we are in a different building, you don't necessarily see what we do. And I think that it's incumbent on me to do a better job communicating that.
Well, we appreciate you being available to come here today.
Anytime.
Very much.
And my wife appreciates the fact that we were on her retirement vacation when you had your budget meetings. And if I tried to answer the phone, I'd probably be missing parts right now.
We wouldn't want to do that to you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else we can help you with?
No, I think we've got everything.
All right. Much. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
We do too. All right. Anything do we want to adopt? What was
the only other thing? If you're comfortable with the figures that I gave you, it would be a motion. If you're comfortable with where everything is at, then to get to the target that you set, we would need an additional anticipation of $1.7 million in sales tax, and that would.
That's where I was going.
Okay.
Motion, Swackhammer.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Jack, no, I'm still unclear. How many vehicles did the sheriff ask for, and how many are we giving him?
Eight.
And he asked for eight.
And five new, three lease.
Okay.
And we're giving four, three lease, one new.
Okay. And as far as new positions are concerned, please run that by me again. I'm sorry.
So last year, there was a vacant deputy sheriff from a retirement. And in speaking with the sheriff, we zero-based that along with a part-time investigator position. And those, they requested those be funded this year. And in your draft budget, I kept them zero.
But you're saying we could address some of these issues at the time if Corning does.
That's my opinion, because to anticipate what revenue, I mean, the sheriff could probably give you an estimate, but until we see a contract, I think it'd be better as a mid-year adjustment.
You have
plenty of flexibility to do that. And that way it keeps your budget, you know, kind of whole and ready to go. But you could do that at any time. You could do it before the new budget year if you wanted. You could do that at any time.
We gave two opioid officers a year ago.
Those were the interdiction officers you're talking about.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else you need, Jack, from us?
No, Mr. Ryan just asked if... It was their life cycle analysis. They worked with Chris and I to look at the vehicles that were over. The other important part that I think we should add about how the vehicles are run, and again, this goes to the larger conversation about lease versus purchase, is God, Mark was still here. So a number of years ago, we had a long discussion about adding another mechanic position to Public Works, who almost all they do essentially is the sheriff's vehicles and the motor pool vehicles.
Right.
So you have that resource over there that does the maintenance. And then, you know, Chris and I had a lot of conversations about, you know, look at the mileage of the vehicles, and yeah, you're not going to keep everything at 100,000 miles with the geography of this county that you're going to go over. But if you start sinking 10 grand into a car, then that's a different story. So we looked at it, and we felt comfortable, you know, doing 3-in-1.
Now, we had a Jack move things around. Do we need an okay for that, or?
No.
You're happy with it?
Technically, I presented, even though you don't have the thick budget book.
Yeah.
It's encompassed in what I presented. Good. Yeah.
So we're okay with this.
Yeah. If you are.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Finance Committee okay with the adjustments Jack made?
I am.
Do we need a resolution? Nope.
No.
All right. Anything else? So we're going to present this budget.
The 12th.
The 12th. Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
I'm so hungry. No cookies today, Amanda. I'm going to Emmy's. Yeah. Good.